So thankful for our church family. So thankful for every individual member that contributes to the services each week. And I'm thankful for all of you who faithfully show up every Sunday to worship the Lord. God bless you all and Merry Christmas to you all. I love every one of you. I want to take just a very few moments today and go to the book of Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. I want to from the very beginning be honest with you. I think honesty is very important, especially in a preacher or pastor. And I make no bones about it. I'm preaching this message today so that if you're lost, you'll be saved. Okay? That's my goal. And so that if you're saved, we'll have a renewed appreciation for what Jesus has done for us. That's the goal of the message. All right? So I invite your attention to the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 8. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Verse 8 says, and of course Jesus has, and his family, Mary and Joseph, have traveled to Bethlehem where Jesus has just been born. And now we see the shepherds in verse 8. It says, in the same region there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, the baby, as he was in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much that there is salvation in Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that it is a free gift, for we know we could never deserve it or earn it by our works. Today, we just want to praise you, worship you today because of Jesus and the great blessing that salvation is to every believer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. For you. It's the title of this message. For you. And this Christmas, I want you to ask yourself, what am I getting? Right? But I want you to ask yourself, what am I getting as far as under the tree kind of stuff? I'm saying, what am I getting at Christmas from God? That's the point of this message. And that's the point of the angel who appeared to the shepherds. First thing, and we're basically going to center this message around verse 11. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Born for you. Verse 10, the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. That phrase, for you or to you, is repeated. And so this year, I want us to be a little selfish spiritually, okay? I want you to stop and consider what's been done for you. First of all, there is good news for you. That word good news used there in verse 10, the Greek word is evangelizo. It's where we get evangelist from. It means to bring good news. It's also translated in other places as gospel. And of course, the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. And when we read this text, good news, I fear that we've heard it so often and so many times that we've become somewhat callous to it as believers. You know, we use the term gospel. We describe it as being good news. But this morning, let's stop and let's consider just for a few moments, what makes it good news? Why is it so great? And quite honestly, many people don't understand. Many think that the gospel is that when you give Jesus your life, He'll deliver you from all your troubles. And that's the good news. But it's not right. Let me be upfront with you. When you're saved, that doesn't mean your troubles end. There's a lot of this prosperity gospel today that preaches, well, you know, just get saved and you'll never have financial problems again. I missed that boat. I'll just be honest with you. If you get saved, you'll never have marriage problems again. I missed that boat too. Now, don't circulate the pastor's having marriage problems, okay? You know what I mean. You know, ups and downs of marriage, little conflict here and there. If you just receive Jesus, He'll free you from every addiction that you have. And while He will give you strength to overcome addictions and things in this life, I want you to understand that even after you're saved, it's still a fight. And so a lot of people, when they hear that stuff and they're saved, they give their life to Jesus and they come out the other side and they say, wait a minute, what's going on? I'm still being challenged. Well, the reality is people who are saved still have the same battles of life. We just have someone to lean on and to support us through those battles, right? A lot of people say or Jesus will clean up your life if you just give your life to Jesus. And listen, forgiveness is available in Jesus. He will bring forgiveness. But even after you're saved, you battle sin, don't we? Paul said it this way, Romans 7:15, for what I'm doing, I do not understand. For I'm not practicing what I would like to do, but I'm doing the very things that I hate. Do y'all have that problem? Do you ever say things that, boy, I wish I hadn't said that. I knew it was wrong when it came out of my mouth. That wasn't loving. That wasn't edifying to the saints. I should have kept my mouth closed. But you know what? I'll do it again tomorrow. Why? Because I'm fighting a battle. I'm fighting a battle. And it's not just anger or saying things I shouldn't. It's doing things that I shouldn't. Point being this. We're in a battle. We fail. The Bible describes us like this. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. That's all of us. But you know what the good news is? The good news is, there is forgiveness of your sin. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. You see, we all have that sin problem. And the big problem, overall picture, is that sin has separated us from God. That battle has gone on since Adam and Eve were cast out of the Garden of Eden for disobeying God. And since then, there's been this void in mankind and in our soul that has resulted from this wall between us and God. Now, this is where I want you to stop and think for just a moment. How's your relationship with God? Do you have that oneness, that closeness, whereas you know you can go to God about anything? Whereas you know that when you fail, God still loves you. Whereas you know that when you cry out to God, He hears. That kind of relationship. Listen, you don't get that by your own works and going to church and all this other stuff that we've, you know, made it into in modern religion. Romans 3:10-12 says this, there is none righteous. Not even one. I don't know how many people there are here today, 300 or so. There's not one of you righteous. Really? Now, that's not my words. That's Bible. There's none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There's none who seek God. All have turned aside together and they become useless. There is none who does good. Not even one. But the good news is, even though there's not one, everyone here can have forgiveness. Isn't that awesome? I mean, some of you are a lot bigger sinners than I am. You really need it. No, that's not true. We're all sinned, right? We all have a sin problem. And it does not matter what you have done. I've had people tell me, Brother Doug, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all, not part, not some, not most, but all unrighteousness. Every failure you have ever failed. Every sin that you have ever committed. Forgiveness is available through Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is good news. Because when your relationship with Jesus is fractured, when that wall is up and that separation between you and God is there, and that void is in the human heart, you need forgiveness and restoration of that relationship. Oh, listen. Listen. There is good news. It's not in politics. It's not in the public arena. It's not in education. It's not in all these things that the world presents. It's in Jesus. And the good news says you can be forgiven. And you can have a personal relationship with the God of the universe who spoke all things into creation. Who are we that God would hear us? I can't answer that question, but I can tell you this, He does. He does. Number two, great joy for you. There's great joy. Good news of great joy is what the angels said to the shepherds. That word great, it's out of the ordinary in degree. It's more than normal. It doesn't say you can be happy. It doesn't say it's exciting. It says it is beyond degree great joy that's available to you. It's not, again, not happiness. It's that pleasure of the soul. A soul satisfaction that you can't find anywhere else. And that satisfaction comes from your relationship being what it should be with God. Verse 11 says, there has been born for you a Savior. Now we've already talked about why you need it. You need a Savior because of a sin problem and a forgiveness need that you have. But I look here and I see He's been born for you. That phrase, for you, is very personal. If I approached any individual in here and I gave you a gift and on that gift it has your name and I say, here's that gift. That's not for everybody else. It's for you as an individual. I think that's sometimes what we miss. Now, I'm not saying salvation's not for everybody. That's not my point. My point is it has to be personal. You as an individual. It doesn't matter that your family has always been religious. It doesn't matter that you've always gone to church with a lot of good people. It matters if you have personally committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what matters. You see, that word Christ, when it says, again, in verse 11, Christ the Lord. You know what that word Christ means? It means the one who's appointed or the appointed one. See, Jesus was appointed by who? God the Father. He was appointed by God the Father to do what? To come and be the Savior of mankind. To deliver us from our sins so that we could have forgiveness and so that we could have our relationship restored with God. And you see, I think that's what's missing in the lives of people today. I mean, we've got a good case, a good dose of religion in the United States of America. We know how to go to church. We know how to sing the songs, and we know how to stand up when we're supposed to stand up and sit down when we're supposed to sit down. We know how to do all that religious stuff. Yet there's a lot of empty people that you can tell when they leave a worship service. You can tell by the look on their face that something's missing. There's a lot of people in the world today who think, well, you know, I'm trying and I'm doing the best I can and I'm working and I hope that God will let me into heaven. Again, you don't get it. When it said Christ was appointed or Jesus was the appointed one, that means that God has set the avenue to heaven. And that avenue is not religion. It's not denomination. That avenue is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And you cannot say, well, you know, I'm a good person. Good for you. I like good people, don't you? That's not going to get you into heaven. There's nowhere in the Bible that says if you're a good person, you'll go to heaven. It does say in the Bible that there is no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. See, people are trying so many things today to find that peace and that joy that they're missing. And that peace and that joy is so obvious. Even at Christmas. Listen, I love the Christmas celebration. Specifically, I love our church celebration as we honor and worship Jesus, you know. That's one of the best parts of Christmas. Joy comes. Listen to this. Joy comes when you realize salvation is not based on what you have done, but what Jesus has done. Okay? That's the joy. I said, I love our Christmas celebration. You know why? Because we have the same thing in common. We've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We know that we've been sealed by the Spirit of God. And most importantly, we know it's not because of anything that we have done, but everything that Jesus has done. I love Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We all know. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God as a result of works, so no man may boast. It's not a result. I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Not as a result of works. I had to double take that. I thought, that didn't come out right. It's a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Do you realize the joy here that's available? That this is God, the creator of the universe, who has the greatest gift in the universe, and He holds it out to you as an individual. That's why it says, for you. And He says, come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He makes that free gift offer to you, which brings us to the last point. For you and for all people. I always found it interesting that shepherds, that the announcement was made to shepherds, right? Shepherds were at the bottom of the social ladder in that day. And it's really interesting because the history of Israel, that occupation of shepherding was so rich with spiritual significance. The patriarchs, the 12 tribes, the patriarchs were what? Shepherds. King David was what? He was a shepherd. God, even God himself describes himself as a shepherd to his people. But in that society, if you said you were a shepherd, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, stay away. You stink. You've been with the sheep. They were ceremonially unclean and just kind of rejected by culture and society. But God did not choose to reveal the birth of the Savior to the respected of society. He chose the lowly shepherd. He didn't choose the wealthy. He didn't even choose the religious elite, the priests, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He didn't go through that people. He came to the shepherds that were keeping the flock and told them, hey, to you, a Savior has been born. It's really interesting. You really understand it in verse 10 when he says, for all people, that word people, the Greek word is laos. Sound familiar? It's where we get our word layman. I'm a lay, you hear people use that term, I'm a lay pastor. I'm a lay servant. And it means that that you have no seminary education or no formal religious title. You just love the Lord, so you're serving the Lord, you know? Just a regular common guy. And when he says, and when the angel says he shall be for all people, that's the idea. God's not impressed with titles. God's not impressed with your background and your education and your culture. That has nothing to do with anything. God sent his son to die for you, to pay your sin debt on the cross of Calvary. You see, I believe that God chose shepherds because these men, there was no significance to them. And I know you've heard, and I've even shared it, a lot of people think these were temple shepherds keeping temple sheep for sacrifice, but there's just not a lot of evidence to support that. That's kind of a story that goes along with it, right? I'm not, you know, it could be, but there's no real evidence to back that up. But here's what I do know. He just picked a bunch of guys. Regular, plain, everyday guys. To share that the Savior was born. Luke chapter 19 verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. You see, there are people today who just think, you know, Jesus is not for them because they don't seem to fit into the church setting and they don't have the education that some have and they don't look like everybody else who goes to church. And, you know, used to it was, I don't want to wear a suit and tie. Well, we got over that one, right? The Bible is full of people who didn't fit in. You ever notice that? Most of the people that God used and were people who didn't fit in. King David, as I said, was a shepherd. The disciples were fishermen, a tax collector. I mean, Jesus was really good at using useless people. The wonderful part is, if you're here today, you may have this idea of religion and everything that's wrong with religion. And listen, religion's filled with people, and where there is people, there's going to be things wrong. Now, here's what I can guarantee you according to the Word of God, that God loves you. God loves you. And He's brought you here today to bring you to salvation. Go back to Zacchaeus. You ever think, you know, the story, Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. We know the old song. Love that story. Nobody in town liked Zacchaeus because he was a tax collector. They hated that profession, right? I mean, after all, we probably do too, right? Don't we rejoice every April when we have to do our taxes? Zacchaeus wanted nothing more than to see Jesus. He was a little man. Being a little man, he couldn't see over the crowd, so what did he do? He climbed up in a tree. So that when Jesus passed by, he could just see Jesus. Now, if there was that big a crowd, I'm sure there were important people. Might have been the mayor of the city, might have been governor of the area. But there was a lot of people there. And you know who Jesus stopped and talked to? The one who didn't fit in, who climbed a tree just to see him. Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come on down here." That's southern for come down, right? Come on down. I'm going to your house today. He didn't go to the priest's house. He didn't go to anybody else's house. He went to Zacchaeus' house. And the Bible says salvation came to that house. Listen, I don't know how you view yourself and how you think you might or might not fit into the religious culture of our day, but this is what I do know. Jesus Christ died for you so that you could have eternal life. Now, what I need you to do today is quit looking at everybody else. See, we look and we'll say, well, you know, I don't do church because of those people and they're hypocrites. Listen, it's not between you and those people. It's between you and Jesus. And we make excuses. Well, one of these days when I clean up my life, I'm gonna give my life to Jesus. Listen, that day's never gonna come. I'm still working on it personally. How about you? You mean you're a preacher and you deal with sin? Absolutely, I do. Today, I ask you, quit making excuses. Quit looking at everybody else and consider the fact that Jesus gave everything, including His life, so that you could have forgiveness, so that you could have a personal relationship with God. And God gives you the invitation, come unto me. Now, I said in the beginning that I wanted you to know the purpose of this message was for those who we're not saved to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that is. That's why I've preached it. But I also want those who are saved to be reminded. We are what we are by the grace of God. We're saved by the grace of God. We are forgiven by the grace of God. And there has been a place prepared in the heavens that is eternal, that'll never pass away. And that's where we're going, by the grace of God. Let's celebrate Christmas. You may be here today and you need to be saved. We're going to have the church staff up here in just a moment. I'm going to invite you to come. There would be nothing more rewarding to any of us than to lead you to Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you've kind of lost sight of Christmas and the wonderfulness of what it truly means as far as Jesus and what He did for us. Maybe you just need to come back to the altar and refocus. Get your eyes back on Jesus so you can celebrate Christmas. I'd invite you to come. Maybe there's another spiritual need in your life. Whatever it is that Jesus is leading you to do, we're going to have a verse of invitation and I invite you to come. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Jesus. And the world's celebrating a lot of things during this holiday season, but Lord, we are celebrating the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank You, we praise You for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the great love that You have shown toward us by giving Your Son, Your only Son, so that we might have eternal life. Lord, I love You. I pray Your will be done in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.